This is the NBC Theater. Today we bring you a fascinating and provocative historical novel, The Nazarene by Sholem Ash. Written originally in Yiddish, it has been translated into English by Maurice Samuel, and today it undergoes a further translation into the language of radio. From Sholem Ash's 700-page book, Ernest Canoy of NBC has distilled a powerful hour-length drama, The Nazarene. Hear it now from the NBC Theater in Hollywood.
This is the story of the Nazarene, who lived in the Roman province of Judea in the reign of Tiberius Caesar. It'll be told in three parts in the words of three men. The first, Cornelius, Roman commander of the Antonia fortress in the city of Jerusalem.
My acquaintance with Pontius Pilate, the procurator of Judea, dates back to the time when we both served as centurions in the German wars. So that when Pilate set out for Judea, I received the post of military commander of the province. As our legions approached Jerusalem, Pilate waved me to his litter and issued orders.
Cornelius! How much longer to the city?
An hour's march to the Antonia fortress.
Special orders for the cohorts. The eagles, the images of the gods, and the pictures of the emperor are to be covered.
What?
Have them wrapped well.
Cover the Roman eagles?
You have a great deal to learn, Cornelius. The Jews have special religious privileges. No image may be shown in the city. The strategy of Rome is to recognize these barbarian religions.
Oh, but to cover the eagles...
You may notice, Cornelius, that there are no delegations to meet me. No cheering crowds, no flowers in the streets. This is no accident. They are a proud people, these Judeans. Give the order to cover the eagles.
So we marched into Jerusalem, through deserted streets and marketplaces, across the bridge that led to the massive stone courts and pillars of the temple. The temple of Jehovah, the barbarian god of the Jews. There in the shops and booths of the outer court, we sounded the halt.
Andy!
Welcome to the procurator of Judea. Welcome to Pontius Pilate.
A little late. I presume I'm speaking to the high priest of the temple.
I am Hanan ben Hanan. My son-in-law here, Joseph Caipha, is the reigning high priest.
Welcome, procurator, and peace to you.
Peace? That we shall see. It depends on goodwill. Sound the advance, Cornelius. We will go through to the next court.
Excellency, it is inscribed on the gates of the temple. Beyond this point, none of the Gentile may pass under penalty of death.
Oh, yes. And yet, if I'm not mistaken, Romans have passed under that gate. The great Pompey, for one, when he captured your temple.
He made use of the Sabbath, procurator, when the Jews by law may defend themselves, but not attack. Today you will find we are a little more advanced. We hope, however, to add the new procurator to our friends.
That may be. We will talk about it later, Caipha. Cornelius, lead the cohorts back to the city.
It was after a secret interview with old Hanan that Pilate issued orders to respect the religion of the Jews, and thereafter bought his first estate in Sicily. They say in Rome that rain seldom falls in Judea, but when it does, it is not water, but gold. I acquired by slow degrees a knowledge of these people of Jerusalem, for as security officer, it was my duty to report unrest and rebellion to Pilate. And so I made it my practice to cover my armor with a civilian robe and pass many hours in the city's streets. Every trade had its quarter, for Jerusalem was a world city. The temple drew pilgrims from the edges of the world, and on their Sabbath, the courts were crowded with all manner of men. We Romans can never grasp the idea of the Jewish Sabbath, one day in seven wasted, but do not think this was a concession to laziness. The Jews were taxed three times over. First Rome, then Herod the Tetrarch, then the temple tithes.
Cornelius, your reports trouble me.
This is a troubled province, pilot.
In particular, I am concerned over the men dispossessed from the land for non-payment of taxes.
They join bands in the hills, Pontius, and it's not easy to suppress them. We crucify every leader that we get alive, sell the followers in the slave markets. There's one called Bar-Abba we're looking for. He raided the garrison of Capernaum. They're tough.
Yes, I remember years ago the revolt of the Maccabeans. You know, those hillmen who swooped down on the coast shouting, "To God alone belongs dominion," in their outlandish tongue.
Well, Jerusalem is full of fanatics, Pontius. Galilean rebels, they're doctors of the laws, rabbis they call them, preaching. We can deal with the rebels, Pontius, but the others don't rise up against authority. They wait for a messiah.
That's a new word, Cornelius.
Oh, it means king, pilot, or deliverer. We're not sure which. The messiah, when he comes, will conquer the world.
Oh, I suppose that includes Rome.
His cult of the messiah will become dangerous, Pontius.
I have every confidence in you, Cornelius.
Very well. Shall I take measures?
Whatever you wish. It's time we brought Roman order to Jerusalem.
In the course of my duties, I was called to the fishing town of Capernaum on the Sea of Gennesaret. The centurion commanding the guard lived on excellent terms with the Jews. And one spring evening, he told me the story of an extraordinary man, a rabbi, who had appeared there.
We did not think the boy would live, Commander. Then we heard about this Jew who showed up in town healing the sick.
A physician?
No. No, a teacher.
Oh?
They call him Rabbi. I went to see him down by the harbor and asked him to save the boy. He came here. It was very good of him, you know, Cornelius. Their law forbids them to enter the house of a Gentile.
Did he heal the boy?
He looked at me and said, "This thing will be according to your faith in me."
You believed him?
The boy was up, walking, when I returned home.
Centurion, can I see your wonder worker?
He's in the harbor every day. He preaches to the fishermen and the fish dryers. If you wish, Commander, we can go now and find him.
Oh, drying fish.
You get used to it, Commander.
Oh.
Ah, the boats are just in. They're spreading the nets in the sun.
What's that crowd?
When not bring
oh, there, under the fig tree.
The rabbi, remember interpreting the law.
Let's get close.
No, Commander, they'll scatter if you go nearer.
Go make thy peace with thy brother.
Is he your wonder worker?
Yes.
Hungry looking.
When thou givest charity...
What's he saying?
Let not thy
I can't tell,
right
Commander. Lord. They quote so often from their
Resist
scriptures in ancient Hebrew.
Aren't those tax collectors in the crowd? I thought the Jews counted them as sinners.
They do.
Look at them. Porters, fishermen, peasants.
Put away his wife,
they listen as if he was Caesar in the Forum.
I say unto you,
I find it incredible, this near worship of their scholars. Can we get closer, Centurion?
No, Commander.
It should be stopped. Those men are being paid for their time and labor, and here he comes and makes them idle away the overseers. There. The overseers are breaking up the gathering. Who are those men around the rabbi?
His disciples. That big one, Simon Bariona, he was a fisherman. Those other two are brothers, Jacob and Yochanan.
Where will he go now?
To the house of Simon.
We'll follow him there. He interests me, Centurion. Where does he come from?
Nazareth in Galilee. They call him the Nazarene.
His name?
Yeshua ben Yosef.
Come along, Centurion. I think we will look further into the case of Rabbi Yeshua ben Yosef.
They'll begin now. The rabbi has wrapped himself in the prayer shawl. Mm.
Let us pray to our Father in heaven.
Rabbi, we are ignorant men. We have not been taught to pray.
Is it not written, "Ye shall be simple before your God, and the simple and the upright shall comfort me"?
We are sinners, Rabbi.
I will tell you a parable.
Mark this, Commander. He speaks in parables.
There were two men went up to the temple, one a sinner, the other a saint. The sinner stands and says in his heart, "Father in heaven, thou knowest I am a sinful man. Have mercy and forgive me." The saint says in his heart, "Father in heaven, I am not like that man of sin. I walk in thy ways." I say unto you, the sinful man returns newborn without sin, and the saint is laden with sin.
Teach us, Rabbi, how to pray.
Your Father in heaven knows your needs even before you have prayed to him. Therefore, pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but protect us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
That night I did not sleep. What is the goal of this man's doctrine, I asked myself. I saw in it the epitome of all the fury which the name of Rome awakened in the hearts of the Jews. This was the war Judea had declared on Rome. Not a war of the sword, but to use their phrase, of the Spirit of God. We would have to take them in hand before it became too late.
You exaggerate, Commander. You exaggerate.
My Lord High Priest, if Pilate in Caesarea gets wind of this...
Idle dreams, Commander. Idle dreams. Oh, our people cannot live without dreams.
He preaches against your authority, my Lord High Priest, as well as against Rome. Now, the uprisings of the Jews have been much too costly for us to regard with indifference.
Commander, we are a strange people. Every one of us is his own Moses and law interpreter. Without warning among us, some potter or shepherd may appear and declare that he is sent from God. Yes, I have heard of this rabbi from Galilee.
Yes, I know. You keep watch over him. I've seen your agent among the disciples.
My agent? I know of no such man.
Somehow, my Lord High Priest, I believe you.
Believe me, Commander, the best strategy with prophets and messiahs is to let them shout themselves out. If there is any official action taken, you know we must come to you Romans for ratification.
We will leave it there, my Lord High Priest. But I must warn you, I am not convinced. I shall not relinquish my direct participation in the affair of Rabbi Yeshua of Nazareth. The Roman government remains interested. And now my duties took me to Caesarea, and I did not see the rabbi of Nazareth till he stood before Pilate on trial for his life.
This is the first part of the story of the Nazarene. For Cornelius the Roman saw only a rebel who might rise against the power of Rome. But the Nazarene was more than this. Listen to words of a man who saw the kingdom of heaven at hand.
Thou shalt inquire and seek out and ask diligently. It follows then that of the true prophet you shall also inquire and seek out and ask diligently. And thus do I, Judah, the man of Kiriath, of my teacher and rabbi, Yeshua ben Yosef, who is of Nazareth. We were then 12 disciples who had left our own, wife and child, house and field. And it came to pass we lodged in a vineyard, and we broke bread with the watchman who was of the earth and unclean. And my rabbi observed not the commandment of the ritual washing of hands. And I questioned him.
What is it, Judah?
Teach me, Rabbi. Does not the Lord demand observance of the commandments of clean and unclean?
Judah, to the pure, all things are pure.
Rabbi, where is the border to which mercy goes and judgment begins?
There is no border. Go with thy brother to the edge of the pit and beyond.
It is not written, the Lord is a just judge.
Judah, Judah, am I come to put new patches on old garments? I am the last door, and if this door be closed to them, where shall they knock?
Came to pass that the deputies of the great Sanhedrin, the council of the rabbis, called our rabbi to judgment, that he might come and declare himself on the ways of his disciples. chief among the deputies was Rabbi Nicodemon, son of Nicodemon.
Teach me, Rabbi Yeshua. Why do you consort with tax collectors and sinners and harlots of the streets? And it is said your disciples defile the holy Sabbath.
The physician heals not those that are whole, but those that are sick. And of the Sabbath, you shall not accuse the pure, for the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath.
This is a good answer, Rabbi. For it is written in the Torah, and it shall be holy unto you, which signifies that the Sabbath has been given to man, not man to the Sabbath. But it has been said of you, Rabbi Yeshua, that you did eat with men of the earth that were unclean, and so did violate the law.
Hear and understand. Not that which cometh into the mouth maketh men unclean, but that which cometh out of the mouth.
Then rose Simon the Pharisee and addressed the court thus.
My masters and doctors, it is accepted that Moses received the law on Sinai, and it has been handed down into our keeping. Who is this now who bids you not to obey the commandments which the one living God gave to Moses? He that denies the Torah denies the God of Israel. Only he may do that who can prove he is the Messiah, the King Deliverer. Only he has that authority. No man of flesh and blood.
The court of inquiry was divided, and there was no verdict. And I, Judah Iscariot, lay in the night, and my heart was oppressed by doubt. Who is he I follow? Who is he? He leans not on the Torah or on the tradition, but acts as if word came to him from heaven direct. Now, can this be he for whom our eyes look, the hope of Israel? Beside me slept Simon, and I called to him in the night.
What is it, Judah?
Simon, which are we to follow? The old we have learned from the sages, or the new we have heard from the lips of our rabbi?
God forbid that there should be an old and a new.
Which shall I believe? The laws of Moses, our teachers, passed down from the ancients, or the laws and commandments we have heard from the mouth of our rabbi? Do we tread in the ways of our fathers, or have we, God forbid, entered upon new ways?
Judah, you plant doubt in my heart. A rabbi walks there in the garden. Rabbi! Rabbi, have mercy on us.
Simon, you are troubled, son.
My Lord and Rabbi, teach us. Is this the old which comes to us from Sinai? Or do you lead us in new paths which our fathers have not trod?
Oh, ye of little faith. I am not come to destroy the Torah, but to fulfill. For this I say unto you, heaven and earth shall pass away before there shall be changed one jot or tittle of the Torah, and before all of the Torah, and before all that is written therein shall be fulfilled.
And then there came the day when my rabbi preached beside the sea, and I went back to the city to buy bread to feed the multitude. But when I returned, they shouted, Hosanna! And Simon Bar-Yonah declared the people had been fed.
Our rabbi lifted his eyes to heaven when he made the benediction. Then he broke the bread and divided it, and there was enough for all.
A miracle. Yet of all the disciples of my rabbi, God has chosen to cover my eyes so that I shall not see the wonders of my rabbi. I alone of the disciples stand without and knock at the door, and it is not opened to me. Then I prayed to my Father in heaven, open my eyes and give me understanding, understanding to my heart that I may see and feel like the others. And I called out into the night, Rabbi, Rabbi, help me.
I am here, Judah. It is for you I send up my prayers to heaven. Your heart is restless. It is like a lost ship on a stormy sea. Why can you not find rest like my other disciples?
Rabbi, perform for me now one of your wonders and strengthen my faith in you.
Even for this did I pray now. Or you could have been my most beloved disciple.
Rabbi, They who hold in their hands the law given to us by our fathers cannot sleep. If they lose the law, what shall they do? Help me, Rabbi. I understand thee not.
Judah, he that seeketh to save his soul through me shall lose it. But he that loseth his soul for me shall find it.
I cannot, Rabbi. I will not leave you till you tell me who you are.
Judah, I am faith. I dwell in each heart in that measure in which the heart can hold me.
Rabbi, I know who you are. Only he can speak thus who has been given the power. Tell me, Rabbi, make me believe.
Go, Judah. Lay thee down among the disciples. Let thy heart find peace.
When the morning came, I sought out a messenger and sent him to Jerusalem, to Rabbi Nicodemus, son of Nicodemus. And when Rabbi Nicodemus came to Kfar Nahum, I told him what had happened among us and how our rabbi spoke. And Nicodemus became pale with fear, but great joy was in his eyes. Then he went and spoke to my rabbi.
Now tell us, are you he that has been promised to us, or shall we wait for another? Give us a sign that God has sent you to us, and we shall acknowledge you the anointed one of Israel.
An evil and adulterous generation desires a sign, and there shall be no signs given.
How shall we believe that you are he without a sign? We are bound by the laws and commandments which Moses, our teacher, gave us.
He that believeth in me shall possess the world and life eternal, for I am the bread and the life.
Moses, too, came unto us. He did not bid us to believe in him, but in God. We ask a sign of you, because you lean not on the generations past. We must be sure.
Rabbi, teach me, how far goes faith? Where is the border where faith pauses?
Judah, there is no border to faith. Has not King David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. If ye believe in me, then I am even that which I am."
Teach us, Rabbi, when shall we expect you? When will you come and redeem us from the bonds of Rome?
Nicodemus, the kingdom of God is in your heart. I have come not to redeem you from the bonds of Rome, but from the bonds of sin.
Rome maintains dominion with chariots, horses, and swords. He that comes to him with other weapons is a son of death.
Nicodemus, the son of man, is likewise the lord of death. My time has come to go up to Jerusalem, and there shall be fulfilled upon the son of man all the prophecies of the prophets.
Words, our rabbi called together his disciples and revealed unto us all that which would be with him in Jerusalem. And our hearts became as water for terror, and we knew not what to say. And only I, Judah, man of Kiriath, wrestled in my heart as Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord. My rabbi, help me, teach me, have mercy on me that I may believe. Rabbi, I must believe. I must believe.
And here ends the second part of the story of the Nazarene.
Our dramatization of the Nazarene will continue after a brief pause for station identification.
Now is told the last part of the story of the Nazarene, in the words of Yohanan, pupil of Rabbi Nicodemus of Jerusalem.
I was the third pupil of my Rabbi Nicodemus. The others were the sons of Simon Cyrene, and before he left us to follow the Nazarene, Judah Iscariot, a dreamer and enthusiast who searched daily through the temple courts and streets for the Messiah, the King Deliverer, the Promised One of Israel. I see him before me now, Judah, tall, dark, lean, half-starved. When he walked, his gait was wild so that the ritual fringes thrown over his sackcloth became tangled in his legs. He'd come rushing into the school or synagogue, his eyes blazing, shouting he'd found the Messiah. But always he was disappointed. And then he left us to follow the Rabbi of Nazareth. We did not see him until one day he returned with his new rabbi from Galilee. We were at services on Sabbath morning in the synagogue when suddenly the white robe of the Nazarene appeared at the entrance. His face was long and pallid, framed in a little sparse beard, black and shot through with white hairs, and curled earlocks hung down on either side of his beard. A sorrowful smile trembled on the thin line of his lips as he sat listening with attentive devotion to the reading of the Torah. And when the passage was done, the president of the congregation called out the rabbi's name.
Our teacher and distinguished visitor, Rabbi Yeshua ben Yosef, is invited to ascend to the Torah.
And the rabbi of Nazareth wrapped in his head in his talith, the fringed prayer shawl, and holding the scroll of the Torah, he began to preach.
Ask, and it will be given. Knock, and it will be opened. For everyone that prays shall receive, and everyone that seeks shall find. And to everyone who knocks shall be opened. And I say unto you, store not the treasures of this world. Consider the ravens, which neither sow nor gather harvest, and God nourishes them natheless.
My Rabbi Nicodemus was there beside me, and I turned to him and said, My Rabbi, these are words which were not spoken by Moses.
Quiet, Yohanan. There is still hope.
The kingdom of heaven comes not out of words. You cannot say it is here or it is there. For behold, the kingdom of heaven is in you. Like the lightning which flashes from one end of the skies to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall not hunger. He that is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For I am the spring of life. I am the bread which has come down from heaven. Truly I say to you that he who believes in me shall have everlasting life.
Rabbi, Moses bade us believe in the Torah, and the prophets bade us believe in God. Who is he who bids us believe in himself alone? Who are you?
I am he whom I mentioned in the beginning. He that sent me to you is true. And that which I heard from him, I say to the world.
Rabbi Nicodemus, can you stand by while he blasphemes the Holy One of Israel?
God forbid that I should hear blasphemy from his lips. Every Jew has the right to speak in the name of the Holy One of Israel, if he has been sent with a message to us. Let us await the end of this thing. His words are good. Now we shall await his deeds.
Rabbi of Galilee preached daily now in the streets of Jerusalem. For the proud and powerful, his tongue became a flashing sword. For the poor and forlorn, it was a well of comfort and hope. I saw him once myself in the tavern of the camel drivers, a place of sinners and lawbreakers outside the wall of the city. The room was dark with steam and smoke, and I caught glimpses of rags of half-naked bodies. There was a tumult of voices. It appeared a rich man was there, and he ordered a jar of costly wine.
Innkeeper, another measure of wine, and see that you add the right proportion of honey and sycamore figs.
He that multiplies flesh increases the worms that shall eat it.
Let me enjoy this world, my scrawny friend, and I'll give the worms leave to feed on me in the next.
The angel of death stands at your elbow, rich man. But wait! Bar Abba the zealot is gathering his legions. He will lead the children of Israel against the Romans.
Bar Abba, don't mention that rebel.
Bar Abba is the sword of Israel.
You're a fool. The Romans have a cross on Golgotha waiting for him.
Wait till the Galileans come up this Passover. There'll be another exodus from Egypt.
Innkeeper, is there a place for us?
Wine for my rabbi and his disciples.
Let us sit down, Simon, and drink and speak of holy things.
What does a learned man want in the inn of the camel drivers? The spies of the house of Hanan are everywhere.
Your mouth is full of scorpions. He is no spy. He is the prophet of Galilee.
Prophet? I know these prophets. They look on meekly while the wicked man places his foot on the neck of the just. What do you say to that, prophet?
I say unto you, come to me, all you that are crushed of spirit. The Lord is just.
The Lord is just.
Come to me and tell me what oppresses your heart. Who has thus shamed you?
Listen to me, prophet. My name is Joseph, and I had a farm in Jericho. 20 rows of date trees. My grandfather planted them, and my father left them to me. But my land lay between the estates of 2 rich men, holy men. And now I have nothing. They sold me as a slave. They bound my eyes as they bind the eyes of a beast, that I might drag in a circle the stone of an oil mill. The Lord is just.
I tell you truly, Joseph, not you are the slave, but they that sold you. They are enslaved to sin. But you, my son, be comforted. You have paid your due in full measure. Come to me, all you who are abandoned and oppressed. Blessed are the meek in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are you all that tormented and shamed. Great is your reward in the world to come, when you will return from that day of heavy labor which was your life.
How did he preach in the inn of the camel drivers, Yohanan?
He spoke in parables, my rabbi. He said there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 of the righteous who did not need to repent.
God be praised. He follows in the footsteps of our rabbis, for thus they also say.
Teach me, rabbi. What then divides the sages from the rabbi of Galilee?
The words of both the rabbi of Galilee and of the sages are the words of the living God, my son. The ways of the scholars are familiar to us, but those of the rabbi of Galilee are strange. But know this, my son. Every dispute which rises in the name of heaven and of heavenly purposes must in the end be adjusted in peace.
All through the winter months, the rabbi of Galilee preached in the synagogues and in the temple courts concerning the coming of the kingdom of heaven. And then he left the city. Now the time drew near for the Passover. Jerusalem thronged with pilgrims from the ends of the world. They slept in the streets, in the courts of the temple, and outside the walls of the city. And it happened one morning that we were at prayer, my rabbi Nicodemus and his pupils. And while we prayed, there burst into the room Judah Ishkariot. His eyes were inflamed with lack of sleep, and within them a wild light blazed.
It has begun, rabbi. It has begun.
What ails you, Judah? What has begun?
The redemption. It has begun. He has come back to Jerusalem.
What has happened? Where is your rabbi, Judah?
My rabbi? The King Messiah stands at the gates of Jerusalem. He will come riding today on an ass, and he will take possession of the city, as it has been prophesied.
Judah, Judah.
Today, the King Messiah will come riding into the streets of Jerusalem to begin the kingdom of God. The hosts of heaven will march before him.
Judah, Was it your rabbi who said he was coming to Jerusalem to break the power of Rome?
No. The rabbi did not say that.
Why then do you put into the mouth of your rabbi words which he has not uttered?
But what I have said all follows. What else will the son of David do in Jerusalem? Have we not the promise of old? The heavens will split and the power of Rome will be destroyed and the king Messiah will reign on earth. It must be. I believe it. Rabbi, I believe.
Judah, it will come to pass not according to our will, but according to the will of God. It is a dangerous path your rabbi treads, and if the thing is from God, it will stand. Go, Judah. Fulfill the command of your rabbi.
It was not a great procession, just the disciples and some of the poor of the outer world who followed after the rabbi who rode upon a little gray ass. The disciples shouted and proclaimed their rabbi King Messiah, and the curious of the city, the pilgrims from the provinces, followed after.
Who is that riding, young scholar?
A rabbi from Galilee, the prophet of Nazareth. They're taking him to the temple.
Ha! Those Galilean rebels! Every festival they lead another Messiah to the temple. Their reward will be the lash and the sword of Rome.
He's a wonder worker. They say he's the Messiah.
The Messiah? I remember the times when Judah Maccabee was hailed as the Messiah. The roads were lined with crucified Jews. Have you ever seen a crucifixion, young man?
God forbid.
You die of thirst, of pain, slowly. It takes hours nailed to that cross. Stay away from these messiahs. They smell of death.
Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! The king comes in his glory! The son of David! Hosanna!
It was several days later that we, the pupils of Rabbi Nicodemus, were baking the matzos, the unleavened bread for Passover, and suddenly, Judah Iscariot came flying into our midst like a man pierced by a spear.
I cannot bear it any longer. The torment of doubt. Who is he? Has he come to free us or to enslave us further? Who is he? Lord God, help me. Who is he?
Judah, what has happened?
The temple shall be destroyed, and not one stone shall remain. Jerusalem shall be trodden underfoot by the Gentiles.
Who has said these dreadful things?
My rabbi. My rabbi. He of whom I believed he would bring salvation to Israel. How I waited for him to speak. All my hopes were laid on him.
Judah, what has happened?
He foretold war and terror. I do not understand. Help me. Teach me. He has torn me from earth, but he has not brought me into heaven. I cannot live thus.
Judah, have you lost your faith in him?
Oh, God forbid. But where are the boundaries of faith? How long? Let him call down the hosts of heaven. Let him prove himself. Lord God, help me. I cannot believe. Who is he?
I have asked that question, Judah. I said to him, Rabbi, teach me. You say a man must be born again in the spirit. But is not the Torah our spirit? And I said to myself, your rabbi's words are good for those who have been born without the Torah, without the spirit. And that day, I withdrew from your rabbi.
What does this mean? Lord, I cannot live.
Judah, is it not possible that your rabbi has come for the Gentiles?
For the Gentiles?
I'll bow my head with reverence before him. But unto us he has not been sent. Unto them. Leave him, Judah.
What? I... Leave my rabbi. Leave the last hope. Close the last door.
The last hope, the last door. That is our Father in heaven. Adonai, the Lord God.
No. I must believe, Rabbi. The deliverer must come now. He is the Messiah.
Judah.
I believe. Israel waits in anguish. I must believe. And I'm weary of waiting.
night I was awakened by a lamentation. I saw Judah wrapped in his prayer shawl, praying in the moonlight.
Father in heaven, why hast thou chosen me alone from all to be the accursed one? Thou sendest me, and I will go. Without me it cannot come. I will bleed with every wound of his. I will fling my body under the lashes of the wicked, even as they fall on him. The redemption is mine too. Rabbi, see, I go down into the nethermost pit in order that you may rise in the highest to God. Rabbi, help me.
And now the time came for the Seder, the Passover service. And my rabbi Nicodemus bade us prepare the matzos and the wine for the rabbi of Nazareth and his disciples in the house of Hillel, the water carrier, who was a holy man of the congregation. And so I was there in the darkness outside, while the rabbi and his disciples prayed and ate within. And suddenly we beheld Judah coming out into the darkness.
Who's there? Who are you?
Yohanan, the pupil of Rabbi Nicodemus.
Let me pass.
My rabbi sent me to look for you, to tell you that he's afraid for you, that your soul needs the help of heaven.
What? Let me pass. He said to me, that which you have to do, do swiftly.
What is it, Judah? What troubles your heart?
That which you have to do. Do swiftly. Oh, God! Why must it be Judah?
What is it, Judah?
Lord, hear, O Israel. The Lord thy God, the Lord is one. Let me pass. That which you have to do, do swiftly.
And when the Seder was done, the rabbi of Nazareth walked into the Garden of Gethsemane, which is called in Hebrew Gat Sheman. And when the disciples felt the soft grass beneath their feet, they lay down and fell into a deep sleep. But through the night I heard the voice of the rabbi of Galilee.
Father, they are the field in which I have sown my seed. Father, this is all I have. In them I have planted my word. Guard thou my plant. Father in heaven, let not my life have been in vain. God, I implore thee, Father, take away the cup from my lips, but not as I wish it, but as thou wishest. Yea, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. The hour has come. The Son of Man will be delivered. Simon, arise. Let us go. He is near us now, he who betrays me.
Rabbi, what is it?
Rabbi, now show them. Now let me believe.
Whom do you seek, Roman?
Yeshua of Nazareth.
I am he.
Rabbi,
Simon,
shall I?
Put up your sword into its sheath. They that take up the sword shall perish by the sword.
You are my prisoner. Bind him.
Mm-hmm.
This ends the third part of the story of the Nazarene. And now the story is furthered in the words of Cornelius the Roman and Johanan, pupil of Nicodemus.
That evening, I, Cornelius, made my confidential report to His Excellency Pontius Pilate. Pilate's bull neck was red with rage, for the followers of Bar-Abba had revolted, and now he suspected the high priests of protecting this new rabbi from Galilee.
Cornelius! They as much as refused to arrest this man. Old Hanan said he was harmless.
They stick together, Pontius. The high priest himself may have secret reasons for protecting him.
What kind of reasons?
They believe him to be the Messiah.
Now what? That barbaric tongue.
The king of the Jews, whom they hope will liberate them from Rome.
The king of the Jews. There. Harmless. Cornelius, I'll have this man delivered to us by morning. I'll hold the high priest personally responsible.
There won't be trouble, Pontius. He's at trial now before the Sanhedrin.
Trial? I said I wanted that man by morning.
There'll be no doubt about the verdict. The old man ran out about the law. It seems their court is forbidden to sit at night, but I told him you expect action now. We'll have the two of them, Bar-Abba and this Galilean.
That night, the Sanhedrin of the Jews met in the house of the high priest. And there was great care taken that a verdict acceptable to Rome be reached. A rabbi of the Pharisees, one Nicodemus, spoke for the Galilean. And the plea was reported to me in these words.
My Lord High Priest, I protest against this trial. It violates the holy law of Israel. None of the sages of the Pharisees are present, and the court meets in the house of the High Priest, which is contrary to law.
Rabbi Nicodemus, if he believes himself Messiah, he will give proof tomorrow before Pilate. Let Pilate be the sign.
My Lord High Priest, it is written in the Torah, thou shalt not be guilty of thy brother's blood. You would deliver a soul in Israel to the heathen. It is forbidden to put the lives of men to the test with miracles. My Lord High Priest, I protest. In the name of the living God of Israel and the holy Torah, I protest.
But Joseph Caiaphas, the high priest, knew that the procurator demanded action against this rebel. And the verdict came over the protest of this rabbi Nicodemus. In the morning, we conducted the accused from the fortress to the procuratorium. In my long years in the service of Caesar, I have seen many men facing death. I have seen men crucified, condemned to the galleys, flung to the beasts in the arena. Never have I seen such pain and wretchedness and longing for life as lay on the face of my prisoner. Pilate was in an evil mood that morning as he sat before the crowd in the judgment chair. The first case was that of Bar-Abba, the rebel.
The lash and the cross, and his body shall hang on the cross to be eaten by the birds. The next, Cornelius?
It is the rabbi of Galilee, Pilate.
The king of the Jews? Bring him forth. A report, Cornelius.
This is the rabbi Yeshua of Nazareth. He is a more dangerous criminal than Bar-Abba. He dissuades the multitude from obedience to Caesar. He claims he is the Messiah, the liberator, who will free them from Rome.
And he is supposed to be their Jewish king?
They are waiting here to see him annihilate us with the breath of his mouth.
They are. You, prisoner, are you the king of the Jews?
Answer, prisoner.
You have said.
Don't you know that it is in my hand to free you or to hang you on the cross?
You will not answer, Pilate. The Sanhedrin has found him guilty of blasphemy.
Give us Bar-Abba. What are they shouting, Cornelius?
For the release of Bar-Abba.
Open the gates.
Bar-Abba released, Pilate.
And what shall I do with this king of the Jews? Caiaphas!
What evil have you found in this man?
Blasphemy, Excellency. He declared himself the king, Messiah.
Do you want me to release your king of the Jews?
What is it? As I told you, Pontius, they shout for their Messiah to show a sign. They wait for him to destroy you, Pilate.
They do? Well, who is this Bar Abba? Is he important?
He is a dangerous criminal. He led an armed revolt against Rome.
And no one shouts for the release of this rabbi?
If he is their Messiah, he will free himself.
So he will. Cornelius, the Hebrew spirit is much more dangerous for all of us than the Hebrew fist. Release Baraba. Deliver this rabbi to the soldiers. Lash him and crucify him.
Remove the prisoner.
And Cornelius.
Yes, Pilate.
Crown him king of the Jews.
Within the court of the camp of the German soldiers, there was a tall whipping post. And there they dragged Yeshua of Nazareth. And when they brought him forth again, the king of the Jews stood before us naked, crowned with a crown of thorns, his slender white body covered with the swollen bluish stripes left by the lash. And Pilate sent him to Herod as a mocking jest. And Herod sent him back with a purple robe.
How did Herod take our jest, Cornelius?
He was terrified, Pilate, but he forced a laugh.
Appropriate. Herod, too, is from Galilee, and he would be crowned king. Let him take warning. What did he say when you brought this man before him?
He laughed, Pilate, but it was a bitter laugh. He understood.
Good. Perhaps there will be some practical benefit to Rome in this business. Is the cross prepared?
It is ready, Pilate.
Inscribe these words on it in Latin, Greek, and Hebrew. What is his name again?
Yeshua.
Write, Yeshua, King of the Jews. Now, show them their king in all his glory.
I, Yohanan, pupil of Nicodemus, was there when they brought the rabbi of Nazareth forth again. He was bowed down by the weight of the heavy beams of the wooden cross, and behind him was Hermanus the German, the terror of the Jews. And he flourished a whip in his hand, and the lash came down on the Nazarene.
Forward! Forward! Let us carry his cross. Let us carry it.
Back! Back, all of you! Centurion, push them back and get up.
Let me carry his cross, Commander.
Up. Good. Give it to him and get on. Tie it on his back.
A Jew must always be prepared to carry the cross for another Jew.
Now, forward to Golgotha!
Golgotha. The place of skulls was not far from the city, and the Jews avoided it as unclean. And to this place, to Golgotha, they now led the rabbi of Nazareth. Now was the rabbi come down to the lowest abyss of pain. We were certain that when they led him to the cross, he would lift up his hands and the redemption would begin. And in the crowd I saw Judah, man of Kiriath.
Now, Rabbi, now let it come. Let the redemption come. Now yours is the power. Now let the kingdom come.
Destroy the time, Rabbi. Destroy them with your holy power. Save yourself.
No. No.
Save us.
No, my Rabbi.
Now, Rabbi.
I understand you now. Judah. Judah. God, help me. I see him now. I know now who he is. Rabbi. Rabbi. I know. I believe.
And now the rabbi of Nazareth hung on the cross. His mouth was locked, and pain was written not only on his face, but on his whole body, and he was in dreadful anguish.
Then his eyes turned to the Roman commander.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh God, God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one.
Into thy hands I deliver my soul.
And the Rabbi Yeshua ben Yosef of Nazareth was dead. In sanctity and purity, a smile upon his lips.
Written in the Torah, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul and with all thy might. Come, my pupils, let us say the prayer of the dead, that the memory of the righteous shall be invoked with blessing. Who sought to serve thee with all his heart and with all his soul, and offered up his life for thee. He shed his blood for thee, but he did not rebel against thee, and took his sufferings upon himself in love, that thy name might be sanctified. Have mercy upon him, and accept the soul of the righteous one as a pure offering, and grant rest to his soul, and take him under the wings of thy mercy. Amen.
Have heard The Nazarene by Sholem Ash in a radio adaptation by Ernest Canoy from the novel published by G.P. Putnam Sons, New York. In today's cast, Gain Whitman was the narrator, Larry Dobkin was Cornelius, Nestor Paiva was Pontius Pilate, Stephen Chase was Hanan, Frank Gerstle was the Centurion, Whitfield Connor was Yeshua, Peter McCabe was the fisherman. Shepard Menken was Judah Ishkariot. Jan Arvan was Nicodemon. James Nusser was Simon the Pharisee. Paul Fries was Yochanan. Herbert Rawlinson was the rich man. David Wolfe was Joseph. Liturgical music by cantor Paul Ludolf. Your announcer, Don Stanley. The director of the NBC Theater is Andrew C. Love. Be with us at the NBC Theater next week for a broadcast of After Many a Summer, Dies the Swan by Aldous Huxley, and the following week for an especially interesting version of James Joyce's first novel, A Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man. This program came to you from Hollywood. What's on NBC today? Today you'll hear Seventh Heaven on Theater Guild on the Air, starring Miss Joan Fontaine and Robert Cummings. For entertainment at its best, hear Seventh Heaven on Theater Guild. And also hear comedy by Phil Harris and Alice Faye. Two great shows for Sunday on NBC. You're tuned for the stars on NBC.